kneeling by my bed, folded hands and tilted head. I thank the Lord for my water and my bread. Thankful to be a part of God's flock of chosen sheep, waking from my slumber while the world is still asleep. Freedom loving, patriotic, deplorable bum. I reside in the States, but Scotland is where I'm from. Sometimes I feel defeated, but we will always stand tall. Fighting with my family, we go one, we go all. We may fall. Our Bibles and talk of bread and wine, indoctrinate our children, throw the world into decline. We the people need to stand firm and understand, without liberty and freedom, all we have is dirt and land. Holding the sword high, I'll stand firmly through the pain. What I have lost is what the wisdom I have gained. If you find me on my knees, it's not because I'm defeated. It was my prayer before the war, the only weapon I needed. Never waste the gifts that the Lord has so given. If at the end of my life, a decision you should make, I will be your servant and a warrior whose soul you will take. And we may fall, holding the line. Yeah, we may fall, but we'll be fine. The world will see the global crimes. Oh, the veil will lift in God's due time.
Good evening, family. How are you doing? I was slow on the typing tonight. I'm very thankful that all of you are here, and I wish that I got to say hello and thank you to all of you, but I am very thankful that you are here, and I hope you had an absolutely blessed day. We're in some weird times. Dustin Nemos was going to be our guest tonight. We're going to have to reschedule because he says that there is a, you know, there's a storm over there, and you know, I always worry now that it's just more than a storm, you know, like invading poisonous koala bears, possibly some fire NATOs. Who knows at this point? Nothing's normal anymore, but pray for the family. Pray that they're okay. We will be rescheduling Dustin Nemos tonight, and tonight is Kilt a Christian episode 437, praying for Hawaii and the topic. I'm actually going to go into stuff that my mother handed over. So tonight we'll be doing a little bit of show towards the end about some stuff that my mother contributed to the show. And thank you, Mom. You are awesome. I love you very, very much. Guys, this is Kilt a Christian episode 437, praying for Hawaii. Maui, Waui. Let's get to it.
We are many nations around the world, comprised of many cultures, but we stand together in a battle between good and evil. We're the seekers of wisdom, the bringers of truth, the hands of heaven, and the voices of reason. as the world tries to divide us by our differences, we only grow stronger as we are bound together as the children of God.
All right, guys, we're going to have a great show tonight. Once again, you know, I'm sorry that Dustin's not here. He apologizes. We all love Dustin. He does some great work, and he wants to expand and get onto some other shows. So if you guys have a podcast and you're interested in having Dustin on your show, let me know. I will reach out, and we'll get you guys connected. We're always happy to have him. We love his research. And tonight, Conley's on here for free. That's right, guys. I am not charging Conley to join us this evening, so it's going to be a great show. Livin, how are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing great. Am I being charged too?
Oh, you never get charged. You make hummus.
Okay. I'm doing good. I'm doing good and so sick of packing.
No, I bet. Yeah. So now you know how I felt. They're in that like big, big pack move, and I'm still waiting for the rest of my stuff to get here. And there's a reason I'm not complaining about it yet. But it's come the 21st. A whole different story. We'll see how that goes, but I'm being pretty calm about it at this moment. For the moment, like I said, the only thing that I'm really bummed about is that my wedding kilt is in a box somewhere between Texas and I thought that between Texas and Kentucky joke would have been over by now, but I guess I get to carry it on for a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's actually not very funny.
No. Yep. And not it's not. Like I said, I'm not going to down the company quite yet, but on the 21st, I'm going to have a call to arms. I'm going to be like, all right, everybody, let's take the social media.
Let's find our kilts. Where's the kilts?
Yeah, exactly. Where are my kilts? You guys got 5 days to get that stuff here. You know, it really puts everything in perspective, you know, about what's important in your life. You know, obviously God's number one. Livin, you're right there, right just a step below, you know what I'm saying? But you understand God goes first. And then when, you know, as far as my stuff goes, the couch and those other things are kind of insignificant compared to the wedding kilt, which is sitting in a box somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I feel for you because now that, you know, I mean, I only had a pack of room and some boxes that, you know, Christmas stuff that I had. Oh man, it's just time consuming and just, do I want it? Do I need it? Nope, don't need it. And I get rid of it. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I will want it.
I know. I've been
fighting with myself. I'm like, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, most of the stuff, you know, we can get as we go. So that's not a problem. The wedding kilt, like I said, that's kind of a big one, but all of my kilts are in that box. I'm still the kiltless Christian, man. This is a bummer.
Yeah.
I feel so uncomfortable. I feel walking around town, I feel like most people would feel in a kilt. Awkward. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's kind of how I feel right now. So tomorrow night, we're going to have John back on if he's available. I'm not sure if he's going to be doing some baseball stuff or not, but I'm going to probably have a show that I should title Devo and Julie because they've been sending me some gold as far as like stuff that they found, videos and whatnot, like literally just mind-blowing stuff, you know, so I should do a show called Devo and Julie. Thank you, Devo and Julie, for all this great stuff that you guys are sending. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Well, that's great. Yeah, you should do that show tomorrow night. And with John and Conley contributing, that would be an awesome show.
Absolutely. And like I said, the videos, because like I said, all these things they're conversation pieces. But I mean, just great, great stuff. We've got some great stuff tonight. And we'll be having a good conversation about that with you and with Conley, who I'm not charging tonight. Conley, thanks for coming.
Yeah,
that's
him.
It's a buy five, get one free.
He has pants on, so charge him.
Yeah, I'm dressed tonight, but I've been feeling left out with all the stuff that's been going on. So I just went and grabbed some boxes and just started packing stuff.
That's awesome, man. Like I said, every time I step on the grass, it says, "Where's Conley? Where's Conley?
Conley's coming. Come hang out with us, please.
Bring your cows."
And I may be taking a long drive this weekend, 2.5 hours. I found the most beautiful. I know you're going to end up coming here.
You have to wait. You only have 10 more days until I get there.
I know. I know.
Where are you going to go? Is that how far away Walmart is?
Almost. Almost. No, I found the most beautiful female border collie puppy. It's one of those where I'm like, you know, I get excited. I'm like, okay, well, I'll find it. I'll pick it out. But this one I fell in love with. So I may call him and be like, will you please hold it? I will cash app you money or whatever you want. Hold that dog for me. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to border collies. You guys know, I mean, I love the Merles, but I'm a big fan of the slate and white, your traditional black and white border collies. I generally tend to go with the ones that are more black compared to the white, but this little girl is so beautiful. She's got a white face, black ears, white body with these like big black spots. Like, I mean, she is just so gorgeous and has this like little face that you just, I'm going to train her. I got a little trailer for the back of my llama. I'm going to train her just to chill on the back of that so we can kind of cruise around.
And already training her.
I'm already training her. I know. I've already got plans. But as you guys know, like, so I told you a story about Sawin, my puppy. I had Avalon, who was about Sawin's age when I got Sawin. So border collies are natural teachers. They teach the next generation. So you want to get them at a point, you know, where they're still young enough to train. You know, so that's why I'm going to get one now so I can get him to train what he already knows. And then I'll train her for the rest of the stuff. So Sawin, like I said, was brought to me. I was at a farm call. If you guys remember, I remember that story where the mama followed me around with puppy in her mouth and kept everywhere I went that day. Mama came with me with the puppy, dropped at my feet. We ended up hopping in the car or the big truck, you know, the big trucks, like the ones that, you know, a border collie would have to leap into, but a puppy would be impossible for it to get into. As we're driving back to the vet, we heard a little whining in the back and I turned around and doggone it, no pun intended, doggone it, there was a puppy in the back. So the mom like literally was trying to give me that dog. So I called the farmer. I'm like, hey, that puppy is in the back of the car. I swear I didn't take it. She goes, mama was trying to give you that dog all day long. She goes, you know, I generally charge for these, but you know, it's yours. She goes, if you want it, you can have it. I know you love border collies. And I was like, done, you know, and I didn't steal it. Mama gave it to me. So, but
she knew. Yeah, she knew where she wanted her baby to go.
I know, man. And he got a great home full of love. He's a great, great dog. The only problem that I have with him is he's not like mean protected, but he's a border collie. So he literally herds everyone away from me or every dog away from me when he just to keep me safe. It's his instinct to do so. Some dogs don't take it that well. Otherwise, I'd be, you know, probably bringing it out to the Bard's Fest or bringing him out to the Bard's Fest. But I'm afraid he's going to herd everything all day long. It'd be hurting.
You need to go this way to the stage.
Punky can use him.
Yeah, exactly.
Punky can use him over in the kids.
Yeah,
thing.
Punky, you could use him to herd the kids. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
Keep him riled up.
Get him to do some jobs. Hey, Ron Johnston, great to see you. Love the live. I hope you're doing great tonight. A little update, sadly, on Olivia. She's went downhill a little bit. They had to bring her back to the hospital. The hospital literally took some blood and sent her home again. So I spent my day doing research because her iron levels are low. And, you know, thank you to Insidious and Jeff for giving me a lot of very useful information on things that are really good, high in iron and things that you could take with them that really gets them in your system as well as things to avoid. So, love you guys. Thank you much for all that information. Like I said, everyone is all hands on deck with prayer right now and sending some valuable information. Like I said, everyone's just as worried as can be about this little one. So God's got big plans for her. My opinion, the devil's attacking her. Suski, that was one thing that I talked about was a liver. So we gave him some things to look at since the doctors aren't doing much. And I can't say this for sure. It's my opinion, but she's not vaccinated. Her parents refused to. They were smart. And just like any other stupid pharmacy hospitals everywhere, they hear that you're not vaccinated. And what do? They try to get you in and out as fast as they can. This girl should be on an IV drip. So unfortunately, I was directed to a Pedialyte type drink that also is high in iron. So what I've got him to doing is to, you know, get a little dropper and to start dropping this into her mouth since she's not drinking or eating on her own. So keep on praying, everybody. We'll definitely have a little prayer again at the end of the show about her. Keep on praying. We're going to get her back on her feet because apparently she's 5 years old. Yeah, Matt and Hev, she's 5 years old. So, and this wasn't Flemingsburg Hospital. This was Maysville. So, this world's disgusting. And we're going to talk about a little disgusting in this world. Conley, you ready to talk about some of the disgusting stuff in this world?
I'm ready to talk about it and then laugh about it and then laugh at them.
Yeah. I mean, we have to remove this evil. We have to remove this evil.
Yes, we do.
We need to be ready. Like I said, I am all about every passive alternative, but we're quickly getting past any passive options. You know, we're getting to the point where people need to stand up. They got everybody scared from January 6th and calling us radicalists and nationalists and whatever little nickname they've got for people that are standing up for truth. But people are coming around and the Democrats are coming around. And I got a video that I'm going to play. You know, I found multiple of this, but I'm just going to play this one here in just a moment after I play the first couple. It's a great example of where we're heading and where their heads are now. People are letting go of the politics and realizing they hate us all. They just use some of us a little more than others, but they hate us all. And they're going to kill us all one way or the other. They're going to destroy our lives, try to control our lives, no matter what political party you're in, and people are finally waking up. But first, I'm going to let you listen to this little rant from this guy right here talking about Biden slammed for offering an insulting $700 payments to these families that we talked about. $700. Seriously? Some people own cars that it takes that much to fill the tank. I mean, a little facetious, but, you know, really not too far. I mean, even $700, can you even get a month's worth of groceries for that anymore? You know, it's a slap in the face. And I've got some more videos from all of you Canadian friends that I've got out here in this chat and listening later. I've got some videos about Canada. I've also got some videos about the United States of America and the tough times that people are going through. And these are both Republicans and Democrats, because like I said, they hate us all. But first, I'm going to let you listen to this rant. This guy's awesome.
President, they need real help. $700? That's what you think the American people are worth after they lost their homes, their lives, their businesses? Many children have perished in the fire and they've died? And you offering them $700 as a one-time payment while we're sending billions of dollars over to Ukraine? They need our help. They need you. This is the time for you to stand up and show that you care about the American people. At least at the end of your presidency, why don't you go out on a high horse and fly over to Maui and help them rebuild their lives? So instead of sending all the money overseas, and God knows where that money is going to, send the money to Maui. Send it to the local governments. Send it to the people. People are now turning on each other because they're starving. They're hungry. They've got no homes. They're turning on each other at gunpoint and robbing each other. Send the National Guard in. Help. So instead of sitting on a beach in Delaware, why don't you take your folding lounge chair and go sit on a beach in Maui and get on your phone and talk to your people and say, get down here now and suffer with us together. They need your help. Tell us what we can do to help. Help me help you. They're starving. They're cold. They're hot. They're hungry. Their rain is falling on their head. They have nowhere to go. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're turning on each other. Listen to me very carefully. Please get on a plane, get to Maui, and help our Hawaiian brothers and sisters. And that's all.
Yeah, so he's dead on right. Everyone is just outraged, and we all should be. Matt and Hev asked the question, where's the president right now when we need him? I'll tell you where he is. Last thing I saw was him scurrying away from questions about Maui, running over to his Marine One, and taking it over to his Delaware mansion for another week vacation. That's where our president is. What a piece of... I'm going to stop right there. But we all know where I'm going because he is. And we all... I think if I said it, you'd agree with it. Conley mentioned this last night on his show. I believe it was last night. There was a book released. Okay, I can write 85-page book in a day if I sat down. But it's going to be full of spelling mistakes. It's going to be full of punctuation, grammatical errors. It takes longer to edit than it does to actually write. So when the fire starts on the 8th, how do we have a book already on Amazon by the 10th called Fire and Fury, the story of the 2023 Maui fire and its implications for climate change? So I was doing a little digging into just trying to find out a little bit more about this author. And Conley brought up a valuable point. Conley, I'm going to let you take this one away because it was yours to tell.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was just, I think that the whoever this dude is, Miles Stones, mm-hmm. Dr. Miles Stones.
Miles Stones. Like, what a millstone. Come on.
Uh-huh. You know, and actually, Dr. Naomi Wolf over, you know, the lady that's doing all the Pfizer research and making big noise about that, actually used that, I think. Mm-hmm. Used millstones, Dr. Millstones. That's interesting. But I think they used AI. Whoever it is used AI to put it together. You made a really good point. You don't have to edit it. You can have it up up on Amazon pretty quick. And then that they'll use, it's in paperback form, but I think that they're going to print on an order basis.
Yeah.
So it's probably not, it's obviously not printed. It would be quick. That would be a definite turnaround. You know, I had a friend of mine on the show who is in the process of finishing up her own book on soil and dirt and things like that, regenerative food systems. And so it's taken her a long, long time to write it. It's taken a long time for the editing to take place, months, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. Finally, will probably be coming out at the end of this month. And but it's taken months and months. The fire was on what, the 9th?
I think it was the 8th. Yeah, the 8th was when it was. But still, 2-day turnaround is astronomical.
Astronomical.
But we were talking, you know, about this, is that what does, we make grammatical errors. We make spelling and punctuation errors. Yeah. That's something that's simple to AI. You wouldn't even need to edit an AI book.
Yep. You wouldn't have to. That's the creepy thing. The other creepy thing is that it was coming, it was obviously written for climate change and how climate change has started the fire or affected the fire and all that kind of BS, which is junk, garbage.
Yeah.
But I think the thing to focus on is when it comes to the book is how quickly it was written, the turnaround, and how fast it is to be able to get that kind of whatever information you're trying to get out there, how quickly it can be done. And with the AI,
it came out before they put the fire out. The fire lasted longer than the book was written.
It did. You ripped out 85 pages in no time.
Exactly. Livin, are you there? No, she walked out.
No, she walked out.
She must be angry. She's angry.
She's angry at the AI.
But... yeah. So when she comes back, I'll get the name because I like to give credit where credit's due. Okay.
Sure.
So speaking of millstones, we all know what millstones are. We know that God specifically mentions millstones in scripture, you know, saying mm-hmm. that you're better off tying one around your neck, jumping off a cliff than to, you know, corrupting or the innocence of a child. So this is very interesting. And I will let her, once she gets back, I'll let her tell you who sent this. But somebody sent something to me the other day or to yesterday that oddly enough, Scott and I had this conversation. I wouldn't be surprised if Scott had the conversation with you too. Was this fire away? Were these kids, did they die or were they trafficked? And then the fire was an excuse as to where they were. And that is something to think about. And someone actually sent that to us via email. There you are, Livin. I want to give credit to somebody sent us an email. I didn't see who it was, but I saw it just popped up briefly. And they were talking about the possibility of these kids being kidnapped and trafficked and the fire being an excuse as to why they're no longer there. So no one's looking for them. Can you recall who sent that? I want to give them credit. And I'll keep talking until she finds that. But like I said, we're in a world right now where, like I said, I was joking earlier about a storm bringing in an invasion of poisonous koala bears and laser shooting lemurs. But as silly as that is, man, everything's crazy right now. They're literally using aliens to distract us from all the craziness going on in the world. And aliens aren't even the craziest thing. Matter of fact, I saw a video the other day where the guy was like, I don't care about aliens. I care about all this stuff. Yeah, exactly. We're not going to be distracted. Did you find it?
Okay. So, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I was going to wait for that name.
Jay Wu.
Was that?
It was Jay Wu that sent that.
Okay, it was Jay Wu. So Jay Wu, thank you so much for sending that. And it's actually a conversation that Scott and I had. We're in a world right now where your craziest possibilities aren't so crazy anymore, you know? And it's a great thought. And then you hear that this guy that wrote the book's name was Miles Stone. Come on.
Yeah, that doesn't just happen.
No such thing as coincidences anymore. So, Colleen, do you have any? We're going to play some more videos about this Maui stuff because it gets crazier and crazier and crazier. But what else are we dealing with right now? You know, you were talking about the expense just of feeding cattle and the things that go into that. Everything's living in a drought. It gets even more expensive because usually the ground produces what you need, at least partially.
Right.
And in Texas, we were joking. I said the big difference between the grass here and the grass there is it crunches in Texas. You step on it, it's like crunch, 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 crunch. Here, it's like swoosh. You know, like you just want to lay down and roll around in it. You know, so everything's getting expensive. Raising any kind of livestock, everything is just getting up more and more. But even purchasing food, paying your rent, it's getting so bad. Matter of fact, Defied Tyranny says that he puts about $700 every other day in his big rig, his diesel. Okay.
Yep.
You know, so gas jumped up here. I was like, oh, mom, no, we don't need to top our car off today. It won't go up that much. And it jumps up like 20 cents. You know,
is that what it jumped up? It's like 344.
Yeah, it went from, I think it was 34 or 340 the other day here. And then it jumped up to just under 360. You know what I'm saying? So, and then like Suski says 467. Scott and I were talking the other day. He's paying about like right around $6 or something up in Oregon. Then California says, oh, it's only $6. It's like, no, it was $6 a couple of times when Colin and I had to go fill up when we were in Yuba City. Yeah, it's probably like $8 now. Yeah. But I've got this video right here that I'm going to play for Canada. For all of you Canadian brothers and sisters that are out there listening or listening later, this one's for you. And then I've got one about America. And let's just take what we're hearing today and apply it to other countries because it's no better anywhere. UK, our friends in Wales, it's all the same everywhere. It's sad. But listen to this.
Food has become so unaffordable in this city that even people employed with full-time jobs can no longer buy groceries. That's according to a new report by Feed Scarborough Food Bank, which has seen a startling 112% increase in visits since last year.
112%.
Demand for food banks has skyrocketed right across the city. And a new report released by Feed Scarborough is digging into why, uncovering troubling stats. Almost a third of their clients are employed.
Think about it. You're working 40 hours a week, but you still cannot afford food, which is a basic human right.
More than half of those employed reported low income as their reason for accessing a food bank. What does that say to you?
That says that we have precarious employment, number one. That says that our housing and other expenses are so high that they are often food is somewhere where they compromise.
But some don't even have the option to work. 72% of Feed Scarborough clients have been in Canada for less than a year, like Brigitte, who arrived to Canada from Uganda 3 months ago and is still waiting for a work permit.
I can't pay the bills. I don't have money. I don't have any income.
She can't even work because she's waiting for a piece of paper.
Yeah, I'm still surviving.
She blames stress and a lack of food for a miscarriage she endured when she first arrived.
And it gets worse and worse and worse. I mean, so people are being put in a situation. Do I put gas in my car so I get to work, or do I feed my family? Well, guess what? If you don't put the gas in your car to get to work, you don't have the money to feed your family anyways. So everyone's being put in these situations where they're having to make these. It's not even there's no good choice here.
No. That's where the 15-minute cities come in, though, so they don't have to have gas to get to work, and they can walk to shop.
Exactly why they're pushing
air,
this forward.
No carbon, no carbon footprint. That's exactly what they want. They want people like that complaining about it. So then the 15-minute cities look, oh well, then I can just go walk to Walmart.
See, this is why I'm going to use his name. This is why we need to defy tyranny. This is exactly what we need. We're getting to a point of no return. We've been talking about this for a while, but we're getting there very, very fast right now. And there's a point where we're going to have to stand together as God's children, not black, not white, not Republican, not Democrat. We're all on the same team. We are lower than low. We are pieces of crap to the elite. They don't care about us. They just want to control us. They want to use us as their slave labor. This is where it's heading. 15-minute cities, we're going to be like cattle. You know, we joke about being cattle now, but this is literally like they're literally going to corral us into these little 15-minute cities, and we are cattle. You know what I'm saying? Yep. You don't get to go visit grandma anymore. You don't get to go visit your grandkids across the country.
Well, Colleen was talking about the Whole Foods thing today. So I think it was you, Colleen, or was it Scott?
About
the Whole Foods and having to use your paper can.
Yeah, at Whole Foods in DFW, at one of the stores for sure. You know, you just put your, you know, you put your sign up, do your card, like you'd go to Sam's or Costco, but now you just pay with your credit card. You just put your palm on the palm reader and it reads it and off you go.
And people
what does that lead to?
Like the B system.
All your information, now they got your palm. Mm-hmm.
Biometrics.
Palm your hand.
B system.
That's another step to controlling the mask.
Yeah. And then we got Jilly says something. Jilly and SD says something perfect here. So the space flight by Richard Branson's okay. There are people paying $100,000 plus to go fly up in the space for a day. And then there's people down here going, I'll play a video. I'll tell you where they're going. They're having to make decisions like, I only buy food when my daughter's in town and then I eat bread for the rest of the week, hoping that it lasts me all week long. It's disgusting. I'll play another couple of those videos for you in a second. This is all over. People are waking up quick. But this is a kind of a reply to last night. I played a video of Terrence Williams where he was like one of the rare cursing Terrence Williams videos. I don't think I've ever seen him curse before, but he's upset, obviously, because they keep going after Trump. And people in here rightfully mentioned this is a problem for both parties. This isn't just the Democrats. And we all agreed on that 100%. Well, he released a video last night literally calling out the GOP too. So I'm going to play this for you real quick. Once again, this is the awakening process. People are coming to their senses and they're realizing we don't have any friends. This is an illusion of choice. Politics, party, an illusion of choice. That's all it is. It's a two-headed coin. No matter what side, you may have a heads and a tails, but it's still the same damn quarter. So listen to Terrence go on his little rant about the GOP.
So I'm laying here thinking, looking up at the ceiling, and I can't stop thinking, why in the hell are the Republicans not doing a damn thing? Why are they so scared of the Democrats? Why? Why are they not fighting back? Miss me with the bullshit. Miss me with the, I'm sick of hearing people say, well, the Republicans are not going to stoop to their level. Bullshit. I'm sick of hearing people say, well, the Republicans like to fight fair. Bullshit.
Man, Terrence, he's
fight fair my ass. Fight back for real. If they got guns, you get guns. You don't bring a damn butter knife to a damn gunfight because that's what the Republicans are doing. And don't try to twist my words and say Terrence said, oh, they should shoot him. I didn't say none of that. What I'm saying is the Republicans need to fight back. In the same way that they are fighting us, they need to fight back the same way. The Republicans need to go after them like they are going after us. They making up bullshit? Well, let's make up some bullshit too. No, Terrence, we should be better than that. Better than that. Okay? Better than that. Look where better than that got us. Look where it got us. America's been hijacked by a bunch of dictators, because that's what they are. America's been hijacked by a bunch of criminals. They're pulling bull crap out of thin air, claiming this is a crime and that's a crime, literally charging Trump for telling people to go watch TV about the election.
Yeah.
But Terrence, we shouldn't do what they do. Come on, y'all. Come on. If the Democrats are winning by doing what they are doing, how in the hell will we ever win? How? Please explain to me. Please explain to me. I'm all ears. Because I really want to know. Send this video to every Republican in office and tell them to get up off of their asses and fight for President Donald J. Trump.
Amen. I got to agree with them. What is up? Every time I play a Terrence Williams video, my lights go out in my room. So I got to stop playing Terrence videos or something.
You sure Moonwolf isn't messing with the switch?
Maybe he's out there messing with me. Who knows? I got to give this one real quick to Little Red Rocking Chair. This right here is the comment of the day. I regret to inform you, mother weffers, that I'm ungovernable. The end.
Aliens, probably.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably, they're going to blame it on aliens. You know what it is? It's climate change. That's what it is. My light goes out there in the show. It's climate change. He's right, man. And I mean, boy, man, when you get Terrence all riled up, man, like that, where he's dropping S and F bombs, man, you got, like I said, that's when people are really coming around, and we got to do something, because we're not going to, they're going to take everything. I mean, there's going to be a point where we can't do anything. They're going to come, they're not going to constitutionally pull our guns away from us. They're just going to come shooting us and taking them away from us. You know? Yeah.
Or they're going to do what they did in Maui.
And
that was a test run.
Burn us all up. And we've talked about this too. So somebody, it was a video that kind of made a really good point here. If you take broccoli and put it into a microwave, what happens to the broccoli? It just cooks, right? What happens if you put metal into a microwave? It starts sparking, catching on fire, maybe exploding. Okay. It's the reaction that happens with microwaves and metal. So why do trees still stand and houses and cars burn down? Because two of those things that I just mentioned have metal in them. Houses are full of metal. Cars are made of metal. And trees aren't. You know, so you have to ask that question. And they melted, exactly, like literally melted. So you have to ask yourself, is this some kind of a microwave weapon? Is that what we're looking at? And then you think about what Conley had mentioned earlier. What are they dropping in the skies? Barium, aluminum, ball. You know what I'm saying? More metals, you know, so it basically makes everything down here combustible. It's not a coincidence that the Instronium, you know, it's not a coincidence whatsoever that the trees are still standing. Yet every house and every car is like flattened to the ground. You know why? Because the trees aren't causing the problem that the people that own the houses are, the ones that wouldn't sell their homes. Yeah, trees don't fight back. Trees don't defy. You know, so they're left alone. You know, we want to keep this land pretty once we build our 15-minute city. So let's keep the trees and just destroy the houses of the people. And let's get the insurance companies on board, who refuse to give these people any insurance because they broke policy, which they didn't break. They insured these people, knowing them that these houses weren't up to some new code that they just brought up. So it just gives these insurance companies some weird loophole. That's not even a loophole. Conley will tell you that. What it is it's a lie. But you still have people out there that are so like cognitive dissonant, so lost that they'll literally believe anything that you throw at them, man. It's amazing. I'm more angry at the idiots out there. Rodriguez, I think it was Nino the boxer, the one that does this little political show. He said something today, and I can see where he's coming from. He said that I didn't have a problem with these people, but now I hate these people. The ones that are still on board with, I don't hate. We're not meant to hate people. We're not meant to hate. We're Christians. We love. But I do agree with the fact is that these people that are still on board, these brainwashed fools, are responsible for why this stuff is still going on. Because they would wake up and come on our side. Everyone would be on board. We quit bickering and arguing with each other. We'd be on the same side. And we would hopefully get that fire lit in our bellies to stand up and do something collectively. You know what I'm saying? That the government and the media would be absolutely useless. 100% useless at this point, because they would be spouting their propaganda and there wouldn't be anybody out there on Twitter other than a bunch of bots and paid shills that are trying to spin it the way that the media wants. Everybody else would be like, no, we're done falling for this crap. You guys are a bunch of liars, pure deception. You're trying to kill us. We need to stand up and do something. And even Terrence there was cautious. He talks about, you don't bring a butter knife to a gunfight. And then he had to correct himself and be like, hey, we don't want people to think that we're saying, you know, bring your guns and start shooting people. We got to be even careful about that, because you got these idiots out there. They're going to be like, hey, these guys, FBI, yeah, they're trying to kill people. They want to start a war, you know? Yeah, and I don't care. Truth be told, I don't really care for Nino either. I just happened to catch this thing, and he just make a valuable point. I will give credit where credit's due for a point, even though I don't subscribe to most of the stuff that he says, because there's a whole lot of paid shills out there right now. Which, that being said, if you go to any of these social media sites and you look into the comments and you see the people that are out there trying to convince you, like, oh, what a stupid thing you're saying about laser energy weapons and all this. Oh, well, metal does melt. You know, go look at their follow count, okay? If their following count is like 500 to 1,000 higher than their follow count, it's a reason people don't want to follow them, because they're more than likely a bot AI or a shill. So I rather than getting mad, I see so many people that argue back and forth, and I'm like, man, you're probably arguing with either a shill, an AI robot. You're wasting your time. Don't get mad about it. Just go look and be like, ah, okay, this is paid shills. You know, which we're going to see more and more of as this, you know, because like I said, they're losing control, so they have no other options. So this one right here, sad video. I remember the average American feeling or speaking this way a few years ago. So this right here is a bunch of people that are giving their little testimonies of how hard life is right now, what they're dealing with. And this right here is a collaboration of both Democrats and Republicans. Like I said, it's all a big illusion anyways, but people are finally starting to see through that illusion. So listen to this.
Question, how are we like affording life right now?
It's to a point where people can't live. This amounted to $100.
Yeah, he's got basically like a bag, one of those little plastic bag and a half of groceries right here that he got for $100. The part that you didn't see right before that was literally like an entire counter full of what you could buy for $100 just like 3 or 4 years ago. What's different? Do you guys, what's different between now and 3 years ago? Probably a guy that was actually doing a little bit of something to help us out, keeping the economy low, making life affordable, you know, doing those things that the Democrats are saying, and they're blaming Trump for this stuff today. I mean, come on.
They blame everybody but themselves. That's what they do. They blame everybody but themselves. They're never the problem. Biden's not even the player. Biden's just the front.
Oh, he's just a puppet. He's literally a puppet. Yeah, he's a puppet's puppet.
Yeah. He really is. I mean, he's not the one making the decisions. They kick him out there. They let him mumble and fumble through a teleprompter and a speech and talk about ice cream to kids in the White House today and, you know, all that BS.
Oh, man. How creepy.
The way he said it was creepy. Just, and then, you know, and then they were, but the people that you see who were doing it as literally done yesterday, when Karine Jean-Pierre, the garbage pail kid, tweeted a tweet that was supposed to be on Biden's Twitter. And she tweeted it on her own account.
Yes.
And people screenshot it, they caught it, and then she deleted it. So you have her doing her thing. They rolled out Podesta today. Yep. So he's running the green energy, green new climate change, the climate change czar, dude. So you got all the gang back together.
Yep. And I've got a video of that I'll play here in a moment. But yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the whole group from the Clinton group, who really didn't want to be part of the Obama group. You saw the two cliques that were in a bit of friction. Her payoff was to become Secretary of State while he did his 8 years of stuff. And then she would become president. We know the plan there, but they're still not there. So they're fighting amongst each other because they're a bunch of crooks.
Yep. And
they don't trust each other.
No. And at least we know who's running Biden's account now. Apparently it's Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not even tweeting out his own stuff. It's coming out of the White House press office.
Yeah. And if you guys, I wish I had that one set up, but it literally said, when I ran for president, like that's how it began. You know, you're like, wait a minute, when did you run for president?
This is what everybody was saying.
Whoops.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah. Whoops. I had the wrong account up. I'm caught. But of course they'll deny it and she'll come up with some weird excuse. And yeah. Oh no, Biden was accidentally on my account.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. They're going to pull a Fulton County court reporter thing or court clerk thing. No, it's a fake. It's a fraudulent thing. No, it's really not a fake and fraudulent thing. I accidentally hit the send button instead of the save button. Lying pieces of trash.
Dude, everything they do is a lie. And speaking of lies, like the one person that, like I said, I will pray for all my enemies that they come over to our side. But this is one enemy I can't pray for. And I'm hoping that God gives me the love in the heart at some point to where I can even pray for this guy. But he's like as evil as it gets. That's right. He's a Podesta. Listen to this. And he popped back up in our White House again. Like Conley just said, the gang's all back.
Mm-hmm. We have to cut the carbon pollution that's driving the climate crisis. And that's what the Inflation Reduction Act is all about.
What about pedophilia, pedophile? What about that? This guy is like as evil as it gets. He's responsible for I don't know, man. He just looks like a pedophile. If a pedophile had a face, it would look like John Podesta. I would uncontrollably not be able to help but punch that dude in the face. I watched a video a while back where people were calling him out and asking him questions. Like, how did you not just walk up and wring his neck? Punch him in the face. Sorry, God. I'm going to have to do a lot of apologizing at the end of this show in prayer. But man, this guy, Anthony Weiner, he's the same skeezy kind of person, but like Podesta is like, Weiner's just a dirty pervert pedophile. Podesta is like an evil kid eating satanic perverted pedophile. Like, you know, he kind of runs.
He's one of the officers of the club.
He thank you. He's like a general in the pedophilia kill your kid club.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, man, God's got
Mr. Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, literally, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna play this little video. First off, man, this guy, right, this is perfect. Everybody's starting to make the jokes. Walt Disney, that's right. Bambi will be cast by a goat. Get ready for it. And an earth manatee will be Thumper. They're gonna change everything.
Can they have that goat painted black?
Yeah, this is a black goat. I'm being facetious. I'm joking, guys. But this is where we're getting to right now. Remember the Snow White video that I played for the other day of the actress? Boy, that backfired on them. They're having to do crowd control right now because this girl single-handedly has ruined any potential of them making any money whatsoever. And now they had to hire someone to come in to fix the problem. And then people were calling her out. Like there was so much backlash over that interview that I played for the other day where she was ragging on the old Snow White, calling the prince misogynist, and we're going to remove the prince from the movie because stupid men don't need to be in there. This guy just randomly, arbitrarily walks up and kisses a dead woman in the forest. That's not how the movie went. Did you even watch the movie? That's my big question. But she's a narcissist, and so she comes out today, puts out a video crying, oh man, woe is me, you know, playing the victim card like they all do at some point, and everybody was even harsher on. They're like, dude, you are literally the most unlikable person on social media. You act like you're some big actress that we know who you are and you're authority of things, but no one knows who you are. No one cares. And we already despise you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just unlikable. So I'm thankful that people are starting to see this, and I'm thankful that Disney, man, Sound of Freedom has made more money than almost every Disney movie put out this year combined.
Word around the campfire is that Apple is looking to buy them.
Yes. Speaking of Apple removed Glenn Beck.
Yes.
And they got him back on pretty quick.
Oh, they did. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But they did remove him. 3,000 episodes.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not a random thing, man. It's just not a random thing.
Yeah. Christian in training, you're right. You know, he says, like I said, he has completely ruined the whole fairy tale that they don't even have to do with instead of creating their own. They have no imagination was the next comment that he made. And you're right. Like, not only do they not have any imagination, they take old things that other people created and then just ruin them. You know what I'm
saying? But that's all part of an idea, a subculture within their ideology. Actually, it's a main part of their ideology. It's not even the subculture part. They have to erase everything.
Yes.
So they create the chaos and the confusion, and that's what the 0 year thing is about, is they do that. They eliminate and remove and purge everything.
Yeah.
And then they get to start over.
Absolutely. So
go ahead.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So people ask themselves, like, how can you change history without people noticing? Just like people today, they're like, oh, well, no, the Republican Party and Democrat Party just switch sides. Oh, that's totally viable and possible. No.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at what they did with the statues.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, people got mad at that. But the statues are gone.
Yes.
They're gone.
Exactly. That's how you remove history within a generation. And I always wondered, like, how do they do it? How is this possible? We've seen it. It's happening right in front of our faces. Now ask a kid about the Holocaust. They won't have any idea. They're calling us Nazis while they're doing Nazi stuff. That's how you ruin and you manipulate generations to where the next generation knows nothing but the deception. It's that easy. And now I myself am even starting to understand how this is possible.
That's why they're going after the children.
Yeah.
Just like the Khmer Rouge did. Just like North Korea has, just like the Chinese did when Mao took over, and you had the Red Brigade. They take the children, they can mold them, they're the ones that are teaching them, and then, very much like North Korea right now, they look at the leader and it's the government, and that's who they look to for everything. You listen to, you know, one of the clip that you played at the very beginning about the guy, it sounded like he was from New York, and he was talking about Biden not doing anything. Then he was, and I get his point of saying you need to be doing something. At least show us that you're doing something, or show us that you care. I think we're getting to the point where you won't even hear people even say that about the government anymore.
No,
it's going to be F off, or there'll be trouble. We'll take care of it. You know, before the Clintons. Before Clinton became president, this country was one of the, we donated so much money to charity, so much money, but it began to unravel in the early 90s, and people began to look to government instead of other people for help.
Yeah.
And now we have that as just, it's just a rote thing. What is the government going to do? Send the money to the local governments. No, don't send it to them. They're gonna screw it more.
They're gonna put it in your pocket. They're gonna send it to Ukraine.
Yes, they will. Yes, yes. So everybody's gonna have their hand out. Look at it. I mean, it's just.
What did Reagan say? The scariest words to hear are, "We're the government, and we're here to help."
I'm from the government. We're here to help. Exactly. So get, you know, and now you. Just if you're going to send it, put it in something and throw it out on the beach, and the people will pick it out, and they're going to get it to their friends and family and get it out that way.
You're better off
than the government would be able to do it.
You're better off burning it than giving it to the government, because at least you're not sending it into the hands of the traffickers and the gun runners and the drug dealers and all this other stuff. You know,
well, they're going to put a task force together to create a committee that's going to look into how the fire was started, and it's going to take 2 or 3 years. We're going to need another $1.7 million just to fund the committee to find out that the electric, and by that time, everybody will have forgotten it and they will have gotten over it. And that's how they long game this thing out.
Yes.
They'll slow play it. People's memories will be forgotten. They will be distracted. It'll be on to the next thing. And in the meantime, they have effectively executed their plan. I mean, people right now are pissed off because the realtors are calling and the investment banks are, and the investors are calling, but they're going to forget about that in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In the mainland, those people won't, but the mainland will. There'll be something else that'll move on to.
Exactly. You know, True Patriot says, you know, talking about their live action Seven Dwarves, put a tranny in as one. You know, this is what they do. Then they normalize it. And then kids in the future are like, oh, trannies have always existed. This is totally normal.
It's totally normal. Yeah. Yes.
Peace Borean 7 also brings up a very, very integral part to what's going on right now. It's not just going indoctrinating the children. It's also attacking the elderly. You got to remove the wise ones in order to indoctrinate the innocent ones. And, you know, and that's why they were killing them off when we had this little COVID thing. Speaking of the COVID thing, Russia straight up called them out, literally by name. Obama, Biden, Hillary called all the people out saying that they created this whole pandemic in order to take control of the world. So, man, we joked about this with Moonwolf earlier when I was talking to him. I'm like, when did we get to the point, man, where we can trust Russia more than we can trust our own country? You know, but it brings you to the next point. Who were our enemies the whole time? Because every single person they called ally ends up being, has turned out to be our enemies. Everyone that they have called our enemy looking more like their allies.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a topsy-turvy, crazy world we're living in, kids.
We were talking about that today. My daughter said they probably, Putin probably wouldn't let any of us in if we wanted to go there, away from this.
Exactly. No, exactly. And Texas deplorable. Exactly. We need more sternly written letters. That's getting to the problem. That's fixing these things.
We need to look and more tweets.
Yeah. And more.
That's tweets. What we need. No, and more tweets.
More tweets and more. No. Yeah. More gaslighting too. That, you know,
everybody's too comfortable behind on the keyboard.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about from people that are supposedly in leadership. McCarthy, MTG, God. You have people responding to them going, done? And what do you, nothing. So what is it? We all know that. And
done a dang thing since they've been there. Committee after committee. You don't see, we're thinking about inviting him. Oh, he's going to be invited. They've done this 1,000 times in this past, 2 months.
You know, Comer had made a valid point. They're trying to put together their case. So that it is, and this is Comer saying this today, that it's so that it's airtight, so that it's good for court, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's the line that's what he's saying, and I can see that. But at the same time, you got a lot of people who got burned by Durham,
yeah,
because that's exactly what you thought Durham was going to be doing. We're going to see all this stuff happening. That's not to say that God can't change that. Trump gets into office. And right now, from a political standpoint, he's got to be he is the one, and he could affect that. Maybe he'll make some different changes than he had the first term and not be so reliant on some people that he thought he could rely on. But other than that, shoot, who's gonna arrest him? This DOJ? You know? Yeah.
And Texas poor was not witch court. It's witch court. WITCH. That's what we're looking at right now. They're all witch courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a rough place.
I think that they arrest Trump. I think his number is going to grow. Oh, they won't be able to cheat.
Yeah, he's got 8 days before he's got to turn himself in, mm-hmm. along with all the other 18 people.
Yep.
And then you'll see his numbers go up.
Exactly. And the irony that we talked about is Trump will take that mugshot and sell him his t-shirts and fund his campaign. And the other people that hate Trump that are wearing those mugshot t-shirts are only doing Trump a favor by wearing Trump mugshot t-shirts.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly.
Hey, it's further going to create the chasm, but it's further going to separate the people. At least you're going to know, you know, if you had any doubt, who's going to align where.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did see your Truth Patriot talks about the fake AI mugshot, and I saw that literally right before the show,
mm-hmm.
where they're already you know, putting that out. But so
fake one,
yeah, it's another fake AI thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play this little video right here, and this right here is an LGBTQ Democrat. Reason I'm playing this right now is because of what she is saying. And people are finally getting to the point, like I said earlier, where they're realizing that what we're dealing with is an illusion and that we're in this together. And we need to stop bickering with one another. We need to come together. We need to unify against the common enemy and realize that we are not enemies with one another. We're enemies with the people that are trying to kill us, which are these elite, these Canaanite offsprings that have ruined our world for 2,000 plus years. So listen to this.
Full disclosure, I am about to go the fuck off. I've been awake all night, and all I keep returning to is, when are we done? Can somebody please tell me when we're done? When all of us will rise up against what's happening right now? Like, literally, all of us. We are being so controlled. We are being lied to. We are exhausted. We're sick. And I don't know what it's going to take for all of us to put an end to it, but it will take all of us. We outnumber them. And if you're wondering who them is, the elite, the government who's bought by the elite, and anyone else who actually knows what's happening and is actually killing us off. They are killing us off. Look at what's happening in Maui right now. What does that look like? I don't know about you, but I'm fresh out of fucks. I've had the worst 4 years of my life, and it's pushed me to the brink that I don't care. I don't care anymore. That's a scary place to be. I just want to know, when do we stop? When do we band together and we demand answers? When do we stop? Like, when? I will be there. This is not how life is meant to be experienced. And I know I did not know that until I had everything taken from me during the pandemic. And I had to find joy in the tiniest little things.
Amen.
That were actually big, beautiful miracles, mm-hmm. miracles within nature. And it's not meant to be experienced. We're not meant to be worn out, tired, broke, sick, frustrated. We're not. It's not how life is meant to be experienced, and we have to put a stop to it. Will somebody please tell me when it's time we're going to do, like, when we can do that? I will be there. And I don't give a shit. Like, I'm fresh out of fucks. Like I said, I don't give a shit. They made sure that the media circulated all the police brutality during the Black Lives Matter protests just so we would keep in our place and be reminded that we will be killed if we stand up. And I don't care. I don't care. They're killing us anyway.
Yep.
Can we just put our shit aside and end what is happening to us, to our people, all of our people, right now, now, please.
So this is where we're at. This is where we needed to be. This right here is where we need to be. Let go of all the stupid deception and division that is manufactured by Satan, and focus on the fact that we're God's children, we're hated by anything that's evil, and we need to come together to rise up, unify. I'm going to let you comment on this, guys, in a second, but I want to respond real quick to a couple of things. So, Suski, this isn't the fair-skinned black girl. I actually chose this one over the other one, but that one's another one, too. There's a lot of these videos out there. And the thing is many of the Republicans have been like, guys, let's unify. The Democrats have been the ones that are hateful, but they're finally waking up and they're realizing that we're all going to die. We're all going to be in this miserable situation, shoved into little cattle cities if we don't stand up and do something. Matt and Hev says, beginning of sorrows, but the end is not yet. Scriptural, guys. And that's very, very true. And then I'm going to end real quick with one note. We will rise, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Guys, this is where our faith is being tested right now. When they say right here, but the ones who endure to the end will be saved, that is the ones that still remain faithful. Because there's going to be a lot of Christians, as this stuff gets gradually worse, they're going to lose faith. They're going to question God. God, why are you letting this happen to me? Those who endure are the ones whose faith not only stays with true faith, but strengthens through all of this mess. God's going to be the one that gets us through it. God's going to be the one giving us the wisdom and discernment to know what we need to do during these times. But right now, what is God telling us? Get out of the cities, because you won't have time to go back for your robe. Guys, take it away.
You know, you listen to the despair, and it's not quite despair, but it's just kind of reached the end of a rope of kind of mercy and grace. We all know where it's headed. You know, when you listen to her, she knows it's going to come stone throwing time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right there below the surface. And everybody, I think, acknowledges that. And everybody knows that when you have cancer in your body, what do? You nuke it out. You get rid of the bad cells that are hurting the good cells. So you just don't kill the whole body.
Yeah.
That's where that's coming. I think, though, at the same time, it is people who, we listen to folks like her, for us, it's just a tremendous opportunity to be able to provide support and to be able to talk to them about their relationship with Christ. That's how I see it. You know, you got people who are searching. They're wanting something to happen. How do you do it? How do you get by with it? Well, let me tell you about it. You know, well, I'm a Christian and I believe this. Hey, then let me... I can kind of feel you're down a little bit, and let me lift you up. You know, you can lean into me for, you know, right now. And it obviously opens up a tremendous door for people to be able to, who are receptive to anything. You may have atheists and whomever. It's going to give you the opportunity for the purpose that you're here primarily. It's not the stone throwing is part of it, mm-hmm. but the original task and purpose is to get people to in a relationship with Christ.
Amen.
That's it. Amen. And so there's your opportunity. You're looking for a place to get busy. You can't do it in school boards, and you can't do it in the politics. You can't do it economically. You can do it right there. That's what you're supposed to be doing right there.
Exactly. Like, you know, if there's one thing comes from the show that we do, if there's one thing that comes from it, I'm hoping that it's inspiring people to find that fight, to grow closer to God, to have that faith with God, but to know that we're going to get through this. God has given us everything that we need to get through this. So I'm going to read real quick what Devo just said, and he sums it up pretty darn well. All right. God promised us life. He did not promise us an easy life. The last 4 years have been the best of my life as I have become closer to God. Amen.
I mean, that's exactly like Paul.
Yes.
It's exactly like Paul.
Paul had to be blinded so he could see.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I had to go through a whole name change.
Yeah.
You know, for that matter. But then, like you were saying, it's not going to be, and like Devo was saying, he spent a lot of his time in jail, wrote a lot of his letters in jail, from jail. So you can get out of your own 15-minute convenient bubble of comfort that you've created yourself. You know, a lot of people have put themselves in that place themselves, which is your boat while it's ramping up and down in the sea, you know, or you can step out of the boat and get busy and go to work.
Yeah.
Or you can be the one who doesn't do any of that and just kind of sits by the wayside a little bit, and you're going to live a life of regret that you had an opportunity to be able to do it and you didn't.
Yeah.
And then you get to answer for it.
Exactly. Has anything in your lives that was worth a damn been easy? No. Mm-mm. The greatest things that you have in your life, you had to work hard for. And this isn't any different. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, God gave us this life, but this is an honor. We get a chance to we'll never be able to pay Christ and God back ever, but this is an opportunity to give us a chance to show how much we love him and how much we are willing to sacrifice to.
I think some of it is that we don't see ourselves as people, kind of like what we were talking about last night. We don't see ourselves as the people in the Bible, or we don't see ourselves as people, as the founders who were, you know, in their early 20s, some of them in their mid 20s who just said enough is enough. And they decided to fight and then founded a nation. And yet that's because I think sometimes we have this idea, and it's been inculcated in us, that we need some affirmation from other people outside of our family, or including our family, but affirmation from people here. Well, I can't do what they said. But I'll tell you this. If you go save one life, if you go bring one person to Christ, in the end, all that matters, all that should matter, is hearing, well done, good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's what matters the most, is him saying that to you. And do you want to hear that? Or do you want to hear something different?
Exactly. One note says, pray, let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion, as with a mantle. Psalms 109. Now, this right here, okay, there was something that Jesus had said as well. From my followers, I expect a lot. From those that don't believe, I expect very little, or I ask very little. Mm-hmm. Okay? We are the followers. God asks a lot of us as followers. You know what I'm saying? And we're seeing that right now. We're going through the tribulations. We're going to be fine with. We love God. Who's not willing to lay down their life for a family member? Who's not willing to lay their life down for the Heavenly Father that put us here to begin with? He asks a lot of his followers. He asks little of those that do not believe. You know?
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely going to start getting people. It's going to narrow believers. It's going to narrow the focus of debate and arguing that goes on within the church. It's going to begin to narrow that even more so. And God is pressing. He's pressing the church. Do you want to sit there and argue about whether we're or not we're in the tribulation, or whether you're a pre-trib person, or whether the end of the 7 years begins in 2030? Does it really matter?
No.
Does it really, really matter? And it doesn't. His son doesn't even know when he's coming back.
Yep, exactly.
So what is the point of the arguing?
Zero.
Zero. Yep. It gets you away from the Great Commission.
Right along with the whole flat earth, global earth, like all this stuff is nonsensical argument that was literally created for that purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if there's unsettledness, if there's a spirit of unhappiness or whatever, then you know it's definitely not coming from God.
Yep. Live the moment. Live the present. Guys, yeah. You know, we don't know what's coming tomorrow. You know, and what happened yesterday is already past. We should take what happened in the past and let that light the fire in our belly. But we need to focus on the future, and we need to act right now accordingly. But we don't know what tomorrow brings. So when we get there tomorrow, then we'll once again be in the present. We'll do what we need to at this very moment. But there's certainly no point of fearing, worrying, stressing. You know what I'm saying? God right. knows what he's doing. God didn't, it wasn't a coincidence that God brought every one of us together right here in this chat, right here for those that are listening later, for those that don't even watch this show, that watch other shows that are trying to do the same exact thing. God brought right. us all together for this very, very purpose, but he brings some of us together for a specific reason. I look at it this way. Those other shows and those other people, they're part of the army. You know what I'm saying? We are part of a battalion in the army. You know what I'm saying? We are our own battalion, but guess what? We're still on the same mission. And we each have our own mission, which is part of the battalion's mission. The battalion's mission is part of the greater mission. You know, this is the beauty of this. God knows what he's doing. So there's no point in fearing. Hold that line. Keep praying to God. Get closer to God. Because like they said earlier, those who are standing firm to the end of this are going to be the ones who are saved, because God is like, I put you through hell and you stood by my side.
And you may die. You may die. You're going to die sometime, right?
Yes.
You don't know the time or the date. And you may go through. You may go through Job type stuff. Some of you may be going through it right now, but again, we get into the weeds with so much minuscule, nonsensical things when it comes to the church. And it is, I think you said it yesterday, last night, it's just so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It really is simple. Moses came down with tablets and said, here you go. And then it was man who conflated it and confused it all the way up until the return of when Christ came mm-hmm. and was born. They had an additional 650 or 900 and some odd laws on top of the original 10. you know? That was all man's doing. It's just simple. Just don't do or do these things and you're going to be okay. But when I think Christians get into this debate of, I need to be more right than you, that doesn't make you more righteous. It makes you more of a retard.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to look, because God's looking at you going, hey, how about that pride thing that you got going on? And you feel it and you know it. That's where, you know, you see the debate. It's one thing to debate. It's one thing to discuss. But then I can see it in the Bard's family room. But then you can feel the energy shift. Then you can feel someone's got to be right and I'm right and you're not. Okay. You may be right. Where's your attitude? I mean, you're not without sin because you're trying to force the issue of you being right. Then will that put you above the other person? What have you done then?
Yep.
You're doing exactly what you're supposedly trying to fight against exactly. With all these people who are trying to put themselves above you.
Exactly. You know, I was hoping that I had that little Braveheart thing. I was looking at my roadcast and I don't have it in there. But the fight and you will die, run and you'll live, at least for the moment. But are you willing to die in your beds many years from now, knowing that you could have come here and taken this opportunity to face your enemy and tell him, you can take my life, but you cannot take my freedom?
Yes, you can't. Here's the thing. It's not even your life to begin with.
No.
It's really not.
Nope. Exactly. Come take this crickety old body that I stand up and go, oh, every time I get up.
And you can look at it a couple different ways. You can be a tool. Don't be a tool.
Don't be a tool. I'm going to get a shirt that says, Jesus says, don't be a tool.
Don't be a tool. Or you can be a tool. And you can be a weapon.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Focus on healing first. Focus on defending second. You know, like I said, we don't throw the rocks offensively. We throw them to defend our family. And it may come to that point. And don't hesitate. Jesus isn't going to want you to stand back and let your family die right in front of you. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, this is the difference between fighting with anger and fighting with righteous anger. Righteous anger is God expects that. You know what I'm saying? Jesus had some righteous anger. You saw him whipping people and flipping over tables.
But that takes some serious military bearing. That's not flying off the handle. Yeah. That's not just running amok and trying to John Wayne everything. You can be very controlled. You can be very inwardly. You can be very focused with your righteous anger, but you're not out of control. You see the demons who are out there who are yelling and screaming and spitting on people and they're unable to cope. And we talk about them and we go, I can't believe that they say these things. And they just is annoying and shame on all that kind of stuff. They don't have control. They have anger, but they don't have righteous anger. Mm-hmm. Righteous anger is controlled and within yourself. Exactly. And you use it effectively and pointedly.
Exactly. Well said. Well, I'm going to read, this is from my mother. My mother brought this to me today. So I'm going to, you know, kind of, as a matter of fact, this is kind of great, guys. I mean, I just want to let you know, just how God works. She printed this out on 11/8/2006.
This is Mama McGregor.
Yeah, this is Mama. Exactly.
You're about to get some Mama McGregor stuff tonight.
Exactly. And she wanted to do this thing. It's called The Secret to Powerful Prayer and How God Answers Prayer. You know, so it's very fitting, you know, for what mm-hmm. we're going through today. And like I said, this is 2006, so it was all ready to go. But it starts off, dwell here, the wormwood they eat and the poison water they drink. God will not give us a scorpion, even if we ask for it, thinking that it's a boiled egg. This is Luke 11:12. He does not give out wormwood or poison. God came to rescue us from Babylon. There is a great catastrophe coming in this place because of sin. And God has sent his Christ to rescue everyone willing to listen to him and to follow him to the place of safety that God has prepared. God answers our prayers as a bonus to salvation, not as a substitute for it. That is why we must have faith and let him award our petitions in his own way. If time goes by and you still cannot see your prayers have been granted, ask God why. Persist in this. Do not disagree and understand his answer. If you persist, he will explain in terms that you will totally understand. And when he does, you will know that God did indeed hear you, and that he did for you much more than what you asked him for to begin with. Love you, Mama. Exactly.
That's awesome.
So increasing the power of prayer. So pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And I love how that is said, to pray to God in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We see what these politicians do. They get up there and they say, God, God, God. Well, God's a generic term. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. To evil people, Satan is God. You know what I'm saying? So be specific. In the name of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, surrender your problem entirely to God. It's not a burden. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're passing on a problem to a family member so you don't have to deal with it anymore. God wants you to. God wants you to hand over your problems, your hardships, and your burdens straight up to him, and he'll take care of it. God, he wants you to rely on him. Your release should be total and complete. Be humble. This is why many kneel. This is why people kneel when they pray, is because kneeling, like being in a shower, is a very vulnerable place. You know what I'm saying? Especially when your back's facing your enemy. So hopping on your knees shows the humility of you know, to God. So never be afraid to hop on your knees. Like I don't always pray on my knees, but I can promise you this, my important prayers on my knees. I've prayed things that were important before where I was too lazy to get off my butt. And God told me in the middle of my prayers, get your butt off that chair and get on your knees. I don't know if that's happened to you guys before, but yeah. I'm like, yes, Father. I'm all uncomfortable on my knees. I make a noise going down to my knees, but I do it. Have faith and do not doubt, because true faith is the absence of doubt. Do you trust your God kinda, or do you trust our Heavenly Father fully? There is no doubt when it comes to the faith that you have in your Father. That's what, you know, saying, going back to what we said earlier, those who can get to these hard times are the ones that are going to be saved. Those who stand by until the end, that's because we have that true faith, not the kind of faith, because that kind of faith is where people start questioning God and going, eventually, well, there must not be a God, or this isn't, or this wouldn't happen. And I say resort back to Kilted Christian episode 436, which we did last night, which is why does God allow suffering? And I think we covered that one pretty well. And it's never something that's going to harm us. Like I said, it's ultimately things that benefit us and benefit others. So know that your prayer has already been answered. Jeff said this all the time. You guys remember. And once again, I taught, you know, Jeff's, like I said, he's still working with me and so forth. He'll be back soon. Just keep praying for him so that he gets back on his feet. But that's one guy, like I said, that has never wavered from his doubt. He does have those little questions that we all do at some point, but he never questions the Heavenly Father. He just questions, like, why, what do I need to learn, Father? What is this happening that I need to pay attention to? But he never, ever questions our Heavenly Father. So once again, God doesn't need to hear your prayer. The verbalizing of the prayer is something that we do to show God that we want to pray out loud. But the thing is God hears your heart before he hears your lips every single time. Have patience. God is granting perfect fulfillment always. We see what's happening in our lives, but we don't see what the consequence or the reaction of why this is happening into our lives. But God does know. We don't have the ability to see in the future. God is omnipresent. He's here, he's there, and he's ahead of us. He is everywhere all at one time. Time exists not to God. You know what I'm saying? So he knows the outcome of what he's putting into your life before he even puts it into your life. It's already written in the script. Do not impose limitations which restrict God's answers. We as humans have a big problem with doing that. We impose limitations. We're like, well, God, a good God wouldn't do this. We always have some snarky thing to say because that's the human side, that's the flesh side. But once again, do not impose limitations which restricts God's answers. Listen, don't have a preconceived assumption of what's going to happen here in the future. Let it go. Listen, God will give you the wisdom, the discernment, and the answer that you need in his time, not ours, his. It's hard being patient too, but especially in these times. But just remember, whenever you get impatient, think about the patience that God had with you to get you where you are right here today. If God didn't have patience with you, you probably wouldn't be listening to a show called Kilted Christian. That's for sure.
No.
Exactly. Thank God in advance and praise him. You know, we have a tendency, and I pray the same way, and I know this, and I pray the same way. I'm like, Heavenly Father, please cure Olivia. You know what I should say? Heavenly Father, thank you for curing Olivia. You see what I'm saying? We need to just pray as if it's already happened, because, you know, God's going to answer that prayer, you know, and it, like I said, but even me, I fall into the habit every day as I ask, and we should ask, but like I said, we should also go ahead and thank God for doing it, because we know it's going to take place. Pray in a group of at least two or three. That's one of the things that I love most about this show right here. Is that we get, you know, tonight 101 people, you know what I'm saying, that are praying together. And then not to mention, you know, I get about, I think, 4,000 to 5,000 views per episode after the show's been played. I haven't looked at numbers in a while, but at least that was what it was at one time. Doesn't matter. No, I don't care about the numbers, but we have that many people coming together in prayer. That's what I love about Bended Knee. Bended Knee is a live way in multiple platforms that are doing the prayers all at one time. On different platforms at the same exact time every single day. You know, that's awesome. Like I said, it's way more than two to three at that point. Petition church prayer groups to include your prayers. You know, it's not about just praying for what we need. It's about one of the things that we do is we ask if you guys need something to pray for. You know, send us your prayer request. We send Nikki Knight the prayer request, which she passes on to Scott to do his Saturday morning show that once was a Friday show, with loads and loads of prayers. And I see those prayers answered all the time, like almost like daily, or well, at least by the time we get around to the next Saturday morning bended prayer, half of them at least have already been answered. You know, the rest of them will be answered. It just wasn't time yet. Encourage small children to also pray. Boy, I'll tell you right now, if your kid's ever going to get into a good habit, that's the best habit they can get into. You know, we used to pray before I go to bed. It was the same prayer I think many of us prayed as kids. You know, Father, lay me down to sleep. You guys remember that prayer, right? You know, and you know, but the thing is, though, is that we should also teach our kids to begin their day with prayer, which is probably just as more important than the ending your day in prayer. I mean, not that any prayer is less important, but you know what I'm saying? Like waking up before you even stretch and scratch your eyes, you know, thank you, God, for letting me open my eyes and begin my day. You know, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. God doesn't care how long your prayer is. He probably goes, Duncan, you could probably shorten your prayers a little bit sometimes instead of just your little prayer rants. You know, prayers don't have to be big. They can be small. God, thank you for another day. I love you. Amen. But don't forget to use the word Jesus and Heavenly Father or Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, be specific. Do not discourage prayer in tongues. You know, that's one thing that always made me feel really awkward. I don't know if I'm the only one. I shouldn't feel awkward. I don't know why it does. Maybe it's because I can't understand it. I don't know if it would make me feel awkward now. It was something that made me feel more awkward back in the day when I truly didn't understand God, because I'm like, man, what is wrong with these people? They're just babbling. You know, that's what I took from it. But now I understand what tongues are. Maybe I won't feel so uncomfortable understanding it. You know, because that's the key. Remember what I said earlier is that God hears your prayer through your heart, not before your lips. Does it matter if you're like, blah, 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 you know, he still knows what's coming from your heart. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, maybe it'd be a different story for me now. But like I said, at least don't discourage it. Persist. Never give up. Guys, we will get through everything that we want to. And some things are going to be harder. Sometimes we're going to fail. But eventually we're going to get it right. Because like I said, if God sends you on a mission, he's not going to be like, I'm going to send you on a mission you're not going to complete, and I'm going to laugh about it. That's not God. You know what I'm saying? We may fail a couple of times. Get back up. Wipe yourself off. As they say, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You know what I'm saying? Keep on that mission, because eventually you're going to get through it, and you're going to appreciate the end of that mission even more because of how hard it was to get through that mission. So to list the ministers, well, you know, confess your sins to God, repent in earnest, and you have not already done. You know, these are important things that we need to do. And I'm thankful that my mom handed me this because, like I said, it was quite timely. And then once again, this was 2006. You know, so my question, did she print this out in 2006 because she needed to read it then, or because we needed to say it on this show right now? That's the beauty of God. You know, things happen way ahead of time.
It's timeless.
Exactly. That's the beauty of the
word. It applied in 2006 and it's applying in 2023.
Exactly. Well, we're at 11:58 and I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do a quick little prayer here. But first I want to say thank you so much to Living and Conley. Another great show. All of you in here. Amazing. I love your contributions. So if everybody would please bow their heads and we'll get into a little spiritual warfare and prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another beautiful day. Thank you for bringing us all together and giving these opportunities to come together where we can talk in your name. It's just a beautiful conversation. It's not just two or three people coming in prayer to you, Lord. It's a whole lot of people. And guess what, Father? As you can see, more and more people are coming to prayer every single day. And I thank you so much for us being able to experience this, to be part of this war. Father, we know we're going to go through trials and tribulations, but we're going to do our best ourselves to be the ones that hang on to the end so we can be saved. But we're also going to do even more than that. And we're going to keep other people so that they can be saved as well. Dear Lord, that's our mission right now. Not to destroy their army through brute force, but to build our army by pulling those people over to your army and weakening theirs in the meantime. Father, I want to go ahead and thank you. Like I said a moment ago, thank you for watching over our little sweet 5-year-old Olivia, who I just got to be around, dear Lord. And I know that you're going to give me the opportunity to talk to her and watch her run around the playground, not just see her sick in the back of a car, dear Lord. I'm going to thank you for healing her. And dear Lord, we know that the devil is working in her life right now, trying to destroy her because she's got great plans, just like many, many of your little ones, dear Lord. So we need to do what we can right now to protect those little ones, not just the little ones, dear Lord, but our elders too, because they have the wisdom. They have that connection to you that we've lost over time, dear Lord. We have been the ones that have let you down, but we're making up for it right now in a major way, dear Lord. We're going to fight for you until the very, very end. We're going to spread the gospel like you asked us to. We're going to repent for our sins, and we're going to become better people every single day. Father, I ask that you pray for all those that have reached out in prayer for here, all those that are running through situations where they're having problems with their health, those people that are having problems financially, dear Lord. Be with all of them. Help them through these times. Answer those prayers, dear Lord, like I know you will. And I'm just going to go ahead and thank you for answering those prayers in the meantime, dear Lord. I want to thank you for just blessing us with all the little things that we just take for granted every single day. You give us so much, and we're not even worthy of what you give us, but you love us enough to bring it to us anyways. I want to ask for prayers for a Susie 1776 last night, and I apologize, dear Lord, for not seeing this last night, but maybe it was meant to be prayed for today. She needs prayers for answers on how to reach her grandson. He is headed back to college soon, and he is staying with me for the time, and is clear, and is full of the propagandized world that have, and he needs to lean back on you, dear Lord. So I ask that you answer that prayer. You let that little one and many, many more like it, with people that are going through the same thing, trying to bring their kids back to you in a world that's trying to pull you away from you. Dear Lord, we need to protect these children, not just the little ones, but the medium little ones and the large little ones, dear Lord. We need to get all the youth back on to have you and to pray every single day so that they can be part of our army and help others, dear Lord. Let's remove the deception. Let's remove the indoctrination. Let's stand up, all of us together, black, white, Republican, Democrat. And none of that matters, dear Lord. That is a big illusion they have created to divide us. Dear Lord, let us separate from the division. Let us unify together in your heavenly name. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Right on, right on, right on.
Well, I want to thank you all. I'm getting better at getting you out of here a little bit closer to time, although I'm 2 minutes late. But I want to thank you, Living Again. 10 days, babe, 10 days. You'll be here sitting next to me, which is going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
I'm going to have to get your microphone in here before you get here so we can each have a mic, but I'll share a mic with you in the meantime.
Oh, that's fine. And we can get one. I'm more worried about chair.
Yeah, well, I've got some chairs. We'll just have to get you one of these.
It doesn't matter because this chair, I'm so uncomfortable.
Oh no. Well, we'll get you one of these in pink instead of camouflage. Constantly. Exactly. Conley, brother, I love you, man. I'm so thankful that you become a phenomenal co-host, man. I mean, like I said,
well, thank you, brother.
Yeah, exactly. I love having
Nikki,
you here.
Hopefully a neighbor.
Yeah, and like I said, God in Kentucky are calling you over here, Conley. A lot of all on
push
with us.
Push.
Exactly.
Peer pressure.
I know, peer pressure. We just want
last
to build
time I had peer pressure, I drank beer.
Well, I've got root. I'm getting some root beer. That'll do.
You've got some. Hey, did you bring the scotch with you?
Actually, I bought some of the very expensive scotch.
That's what I thought. Okay. All right. Yes. Then then
I'm convinced. Well, I'll be there tomorrow.
What, I'll be there in September.
Yes, you will. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
I'll be there in September.
And everybody here in the chat, all of those that you're going to be listening to later, I love you all. I thank you so much for your contributions to every conversation we have. Like I said, guys,
it's awesome.
We have the microphones, but you guys have just as big of a voice of this show. This show wouldn't be anything without you. Like I said, this isn't just a bunch of people ranting into microphones. This is a community show, and you guys are all a big, big, big part of it. So I hope to see you all here in Kentucky at some point. And we got the good scotch. I don't know if that's a plus or not, but we got the good scotch, guys. Come on.
It's a plus.
But we also, but we more importantly, we have the faith, we have God, we have prayer. And guys, we love you more than we can ever say. I want to thank you so much for joining us every night tonight and every single night. This is Kilted Christian episode 437, praying for Hawaii. Guys, keep your prayers up. Thank God every single day for the life he's blessed you with. Hold that line because we're going to get through this just fine. Guys, I will see you tomorrow evening. I believe John will be here and we got some other great conversations. We're going to talk about the stuff that that Devo and Hibiscus has sent. Like I said, they've got some pretty quality stuff. And we have saved up enough of it just to do an entire show. So we're going to pay homage to two of our beautiful, beautiful family members right here in the chat. But guys, have an absolutely beautiful evening. And I leave you with this. Friends and family, don't ever forget that when the devil and our enemies find us on our knees, assuming that we've been defeated, that we're actually in prayer, which is the greatest sword in our armory. And the real war is just about to begin. I want to thank everybody for joining us for another episode of The Kilted Christian, which is the second show in the Bards block of Bards Nation Network. Don't forget to go watch Fishers of Men tonight and every night at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And just like in old radio fashion, we sign out with the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
have an absolutely beautiful night. Thank you so much for joining us tonight and every night. Those of you that are here with us live, those of you here later, we love you all much. Make sure that you head on over to Bards FM, Fishers of Men, your night with a little bit of love, a little bit of prayer, and a whole lot of unity. We're going to need each other more and more as we get to these chaotic times, but we're watching people unify finally. And it's all right. We're going to get to this. Why? Because we know how this book ends. God wins. So hold that faith, hold the line, keep in prayer. Guys, we love you very, very much. We will see you tomorrow night for episode 438. Have a beautiful evening, and God bless.